I'd like to read one verse from the Old Testament and another verse from the New Testament. The one in the Old Testament is from Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Go unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith Jehovah, let my people go, that they may serve me." And the one from the New Testament is in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. "Yourselves also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." When God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, He sent Moses to Pharaoh and made a proclamation, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." Now this is a declaration. It reveals God's purpose of saving His people. These people served Pharaoh in the past. They were slaves. And now the Lord said, "Let my people go. These people shall be freed." And the reason why they should be freed is not that from now on they may serve themselves, but they may serve the Lord. And this proclamation is made 7 times. As you read the book of Exodus. In other words, it is a tremendous declaration. And it is an eternal fact. "Let my people go, that they may serve me." A people who were in bondage could not serve God. They had to serve Pharaoh. But to serve God, it required a free people. Free to serve God. Now, brothers and sisters, if this is true with the children of Israel, how much truer it ought to be with us today. We are redeemed of the Lord. We have been set free through the finished work of our Lord Jesus on the cross. He has delivered us not only out of the penalty of death, He has delivered us out of the power of sin. He has delivered us from the old creation, even from our flesh. He has delivered us from the dominion of our enemy, the power of darkness. We are today a freed people. And the reason why we are freed is not that from now on we can live as we want to. We can do whatever we like to do. Now, probably this is our idea of freedom, of liberty. But we know that the true meaning of freedom and liberty is that we are free to serve God. Once upon a time, we were not free to serve God. We were under bondage. We cannot help but serve sin, serve the world, serve ourselves. We were under bondage. But dear brothers and sisters, today we praise the Lord that He has set us free. And because we are a free people, we are free to do God's will. We are free to serve Him. So I think this is something that we must always remember. That we are not here to serve anybody else but the Lord Jesus. We are saved, we are freed to serve God. When God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, He took them to Mount Sinai. And there in Exodus chapter 19, He told this people that if you keep My covenant, I will make you a nation of priests, a holy nation. In other words, in freeing this people, God's intention was to make them a nation of priests. And we know priests are those who serve God. In other words, God wanted to make this nation a nation of priests. Everybody in that nation was to serve God as priests. The old and the young. The man and the woman, everyone. It was to be a nation of priests. All who were delivered out of Egypt were to serve God as priests. And when God delivered them out of Egypt, not only the man came out, the woman came out, not only the men and women came out, the children came out, the whole families came out. Therefore, it was God's purpose that everyone who came out of Egypt, old and young, man and woman, they were to serve God as priests. It was unfortunate because while Moses was on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel rebel against God. They worship the golden calf. And because of their failure, they disqualify themselves to be priests unto God. So God gave them an emergency measure. And God chose one family, the family of Aaron, to be priests. And God took one tribe out of the 12 tribes, the tribe of Levi, and gave the Levites to the priests to help in the service of God. So we know that in the Old Testament, only one family were priests. If you do not belong to that family, you cannot be priests. Only one tribe was set apart to minister to the tabernacle. And if you were not a Levite, you had not the privilege to serve in the house of God. But this was an emergency measure. It was not God's original purpose. Therefore, you'll find after our Lord Jesus has accomplished the work of redemption, He has redeemed us back to the original purpose of God. And that's the reason why today, every believer is a priest. Every believer is a Levite. With the children of Israel, you have the priests, the Levites, and the people, the laymen. But in the church of God today, every believer is a priest as well as a Levite. There is no layman. Peter said, as we come to the Lord, we are as living stones, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, today we are a holy priesthood. Every believer is a priest. The universal priesthood of the believer is the teaching of the New Testament. It is our honor, our privilege, our duty, our responsibility as a redeemed of the Lord to serve God. You remember what Joshua declared in his old age. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In his declaration, he was just trying to tell the children of Israel that it was God's purpose that for them and for their household to serve God. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we are the redeemed of the Lord today, it is important for every one of us to understand that we are freed that we may serve God. It is our responsibility, and more than responsibility, it is our privilege that every one of us, old and young, we are to serve God. Now, how are we going to serve God? We are going to serve God as priests, as well as Levites. Now, in the Old Testament times, you'll find the priests are priests and the Levites are Levites. And the priestly service is mainly towards God, while the Levitical service is mainly towards the house of God. The priests, they serve God by offering sacrifices. The Levites serve God's people by helping, preparing in these sacrifices. But today, as the redeemed of the Lord, we serve God in both capacities. On the one hand, we serve God as priests. There is a priestly service that every one of us must fulfill. And at the same time, there is a Levitical service that each one of us must also fulfill. So we have a double service that we need to fulfill today as the redeemed of the Lord. On the one hand, we serve God as priests. It is a service towards God. On the other hand, we serve God as Levites. We have our service towards the house of God. Now, what is the house of God today? The people of God. So, we have a service towards God's people. And these two services, every one of us must fulfill. Because if we do not, then we fail in the purpose of God. We fail to realize why we are set free. The priests in the Old Testament time, they offer sacrifices on the altar. They minister to God in the holy place. They burn incense unto God. The Levites, they help in preparing these sacrifices. They help in washing them. They help in killing them. They help the priests in the sacrifices. In Old Testament times, you'll find the Levites were given to the house of Aaron to help in their service. The Levites will keep the doors of the temple. The Levites were seen in the house of God under the direction of the priest. The Levites will do many works in order that the priestly service might be fully accomplished. So you'll find that even though there were distinctions between the Levitical service and the priestly service, and yet these services could not be separated. The priestly service needs the help of the Levitical service, and the Levitical service needs the priestly service to complete it. You have two different services, and yet they work together as one. Now, this principle applies to us today. As believers, we have our priestly service. And probably we'll think that priestly service is spiritual service. It is spiritual in nature. But as believers, we have also our Levitical service. And we may think the Levitical service is temporal. I don't like to use the word secular. It is temporal. It is mundane. But whether it is priestly service, which we consider as spiritual, or whether it is Levitical service, which we will think as mundane or temporal, you find that all requires three things. Number one, it requires that we do all things as unto the Lord. Now, if you are engaged in priestly service, of course, you have to do it as unto the Lord. If you do a spiritual service, and you do not do it as unto the Lord, it has lost its spirituality. But even if you are doing a Levitical service, you have to do it as unto the Lord. You may preach. We may think that preach the word of God certainly is a priestly service. But you may not do it as unto the Lord. Or you may serve the table. And we think serving the table is a temporal thing. But you need to serve the table as unto the Lord. So whether it is Levitical service or priestly service, number one, it has to be done. All has to be done as unto the Lord. And number two, whether it is Levitical or priestly, it has to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, certainly, when we think of the apostles, when they minister the Word of God, no doubt they must do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. They cannot do it in their own power. But we must remember, in the book of Acts chapter 6, when they choose the 7 to serve the table, they choose people who are full of the Holy Spirit. Whether it is spiritual or temporal, everything has to be done as unto the Lord. You're doing it to the Lord. And it is the Lord who is receiving it. You remember the Lord said, if you do it to one of these little children, you're doing it unto me. We need to remember that. And then, of course, it has to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. It cannot be done in our own power, in our own strength, by our own cleverness, with our own energy. We have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, under the anointing of God. And then thirdly, whether it is priestly or Levitical, it has to be done in love. If love is not the motivation behind it, if it is not because of our love towards the Lord and towards the brethren, then you'll find even if we may do these things, they are not acceptable to God. And these are the three factors that we must remember as we serve God in our double capacity. Every believer has to fulfill his or her priestly function. Now, what are these priestly functions for us today? Let us be very practical. I think, first of all, our priestly service is in praise and thanksgiving. You remember in Hebrews chapter 13, we are told, verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually to God. That is the fruit of the lips confessing his name. He, as New Testament priests, we are to offer sacrifice of praise continually to God. We are to praise God. We are to thank him. Now, what is praise? Praise is seeing who he is, what he is, knowing what he has done. This will draw praises from us. We who know him, we know who he is. We know what he is. We know what he has done, what wondrous works he has performed. And when we know of these things, we ought to praise him because of that. We must not only praise him, but also thank him. Now, thanksgiving is because of what we have received from him. We thank him for all the blessings that he has blessed us with, both what we would consider as real or disguised. You know, sometimes we think some blessings are very real. And sometimes we think these are not blessings, but these are disguised blessings. So we need to thank Him both for the real and the disguised. Whatever we receive as from His own hand. And we know that every good thing comes from Him. It is for our good. So as priests of the new covenant, dear brothers and sisters, it is our duty, it is our privilege to thank Him and to praise Him, to offer to Him the sacrifice of praise continually. Now this, of course, we do not just when we come together. This is something that we must do every day, all the time. In our private life, in our individual devotional time, during the day, this is something that we need to offer to God continuously. Let the praises ascend to God continuously without end. We thank Him always for what He is, and we praise Him for what He is, and we thank Him for everything that He has done to us. So we need to cultivate a holy habit. A holy habit of praising Him and thanking Him. Now, as you read the Old Testament, you'll find that the Old Testament saints, they pray three times a day. In the morning, at noontime, and in the evening. But in Psalms you'll find that David praised God seven times a day. We should not only pray, but we should praise Him. We should praise Him whenever there is occasion for it. And we have plenty of occasion to thank Him and to praise Him for. But of course, the priests, they come to the house of God to praise. It is their responsibility to praise God in the temple. And I think as believers, this is what we must do. We must not only praise Him and thank Him in our daily life, but when we come together, this is the time that we should offer to Him praises and thanksgiving. Especially at the time of worship. You know, sometimes when you come together to worship the Lord, we are here as priests to serve God. The time of worship is not the time that we look for something from Him, but it is the time that we have received so much that we come to worship Him, to praise Him, to give thanks to Him. This is the time that we should bring out all these praises and thanksgivings. And it will be a good thing if everyone will do that. You know, oftentimes you'll find only a few, usually these few, they will praise, they will thank. But the rest seems to be silent. Now, of course, we say it in our spirit, we are with you. And you are doing it for us. But that's not good enough. It is best if every brother, every sister, young and old, man and woman, remember this is our privilege. Let us not be silent. Let us praise God. You know, of course, we don't have time for everyone to to praise and to thank Him. Well, if we make it shorter, you know, just say, Lord, I thank you. Well, that's good. And if we make it shorter, probably we'll have time for everybody. And if the Spirit of God moves you to make it longer, that's fine. You know, we don't have any rule and regulation here, you know. But the principle is that everyone is a priest. And everyone should praise and give thanks. I believe whenever a young one, especially whether it's young in age or young in spiritual age, whenever a young one praise God and thank God with a few words, you know our Heavenly Father is very, very much pleased. Even much more than those who are more matured. So I do encourage, dear brothers and sisters, we are priests. When we come together to worship the Lord, let everyone have a chance to praise Him and to thank Him. I hope especially those who have been silent for years, it is about time. You know, this is time that we should fulfill our priestly function. You know? So let's remember this. Let's praise Him. Let's give thanks to Him. You know, oftentimes in a meeting, especially in a worship time, we try to hide ourselves behind choruses and hymns. Now, I don't mean that we should not sing hymns and choruses. We should. As the Spirit moves us, sometimes we cannot express ourselves, and maybe somebody else inspired, giving us a hymn, giving us a chorus that we know that will help us to express our thanks and praises unto God. Now, that's good. But oftentimes, you know, that's the way we hide ourselves. Instead of praising and thanking Him ourselves, you know, we use other people's praise and thanks to cover ourselves. That is not good. So we do hope that when God's people come together, that there might be so much praise and thankful from so many that we just find every time we don't have time. And that's the reason why it gives you a sense that we long for that day when time shall pass and eternity comes in. Then we will have the time to praise and to thank God. You know, we need to have that sense. Sometimes, you know, we find there's too much time. And that's a wrong impression. There should be time. Shouldn't be time to praise and to thank God. It takes eternity to do that. So I do encourage especially those timid ones that they should come out with praises and thanks. Now, oftentimes I know that you are thinking of the one sick next to you or other brothers and sisters. You may think, well, what can I do? You know, if I say a few words, my words may not be so smooth and so well phrased, you know, but if you think of the Lord, don't think of other people. Think of the Lord. If you think of the Lord, then you will have the courage to sing praises, to offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. So this is the first thing. As priests, we must praise and thank God in our daily life as well as when we are together. And another thing probably would be a help
If we learn to, if you learn to sing, if you learn to praise and thank God in your daily life, it will help you to praise and thank God when we are together. You know, probably one reason why there is not much praise and thank when we are together is because probably in your daily life, you are not praising God and thank God as you should. So why not practice it for 6 days? And then on the seventh day when we come together, now we can praise and thank God as we should. Secondly, as priests, our priestly function is not only to praise. Our priestly function is also to pray. To pray. Acts 4, chapter 2, verse 42. They persevered in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And you find they refer not only to the 12 apostles. Now, of course, the 12 apostles must give themselves to prayer. But they persevere. They include not only the 120 who have followed the Lord maybe for 3 years or so, but they include the 3,000 who were just baptized, babes in Christ. And yet you'll find they, the babes in Christ, as well as the 120 who are more mature, and the 12 apostles, they persevered in prayer. Why? Because prayer is a priestly function. You remember how the priests will go into the temple and they will burn incense at the golden altar of incense? That's prayer. That's intercession. So it is the duty and the privilege of every redeemed of the Lord. Again, I say, both old and young, that we ought to pray. This is our priestly service. Of course, we pray in our private lives. We need to pray. Not only pray, but also intercede. We need to take burdens. Pray for other people. And as 1 Timothy chapter 2 said, we need to pray for all men. We may need to pray for those in authority. We need to pray for souls, that they may be saved. We need to learn to pray in our daily life. This is like burning incense towards God. But not only that, when we come together, we need to come together and pray. And again, you know, oftentimes we think, and it is almost a common thing, you know. When you have a time for ministering the Word of God, you find more people. When you have the time when God's people come together to pray, then many people say, well, that's not for me. And usually you find less people. Now, of course, I know there are certain limitations or problems involving, like family, you know, the children, and someone has to stay home with the children. I know of that. But still we must remember that as a holy priesthood, we need to come together and pray. We need to intercede for God's interest. And it is the duty and privilege of every redeemed of the Lord. Not only to be present when the church gathers to pray, but to pray. Now, oftentimes I wonder, why do we come? You know, sometimes we come together to pray, and very few pray. And I wonder, why do we come at all? If we do not come to pray, why do we come? We do not come to listen to prayer. We come to pray. And of course, when our brothers and sisters are praying, we are praying with them in our spirit. That's true. But that is only one part of it. The other part of it is we too must pray. Let us offer incense towards the Lord. Let us not always let our other brothers and sisters offer these incenses. You know, in the Old Testament time, to a priest, oh, how they covered the day when they can be chosen to burn incense at the golden altar. You know, there are thousands of priests, and only one priest a day was chosen to burn incense at the golden altar of incense. And usually they did it early in the morning before daybreak. The priests for that day were gathered together in a room, and they were cast lots to see who was to do what. And if the lot should fall on one to burn incense at the golden altar of incense, they consider as the highest privilege of a priest. Oh, how they look forward to that day. And you know, in the Old Testament time, you may be a priest for life and never had that chance to burn incense at the altar. And if the lot fell on you once, that's all you could do. It could not be repeated. In other words, it was a high privilege. And yet today, dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit, it is not casting lot, but the Holy Spirit certainly will stir your heart and my heart and every heart to burn incense, to pray. You cannot say that you have been to times of prayer and the lot never falls on you. The Holy Spirit has never moved you to pray. I don't think you can say that. On the contrary, I will think that if you're open, you'll find that He will move you more often than you think. So let's come together and really pray. Because this is priestly function. Now, brothers and sisters, are we fulfilling our functions? We are redeemed of the Lord. We are believers. But have we been fulfilling our priestly functions? Are we really praying? Not only individually, but together. Are we really praying? Let us give ourselves more to this priestly function. And then thirdly, a priest is to offer sacrifices unto God. You know, in the Old Testament time, the priests, they were offer burnt offerings. They were offer meal offerings. They will offer peace offerings. They will offer sin offerings. They will offer trespass offerings. You know, they will offer sacrifices and gifts unto God. That is the work of the priesthood. Now, of course, all these sacrifices are types of Christ. Now, we cannot go into that because it would take too much time. But just remember that all these offerings are types of Christ. And in offering these sacrifices, now in the Old New Testament it said spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. We are not to offer bullets, lamb, goat, or pigeon, but we are to offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, what are these spiritual sacrifices? These spiritual sacrifices are Christ in His various aspects. It is our knowledge, our understanding, our experience, our apprehension of Christ. We know Christ as the burnt offering. We know Christ as one who offers Himself freely, voluntarily to God for our acceptance. We know Christ as our meal offering, a life that is perfect. We know Christ as our peace offering. He is our peace. We know Christ. We know Christ as one who offers Himself freely, voluntarily to God for our acceptance. We know Christ as our meal offering, a life that is perfect. We know Christ as our peace offering. He is our peace. We know Christ as our sin offering. He atoned for our sin once and for all. We know Christ as our trespass offering, that He cleanses us from all defilement, from all failures and sins, our daily thoughts. We know Him as such. And it is because of our knowledge of Christ. We apprehend Him as our burnt offering, as our meal offering, as our peace offering, as our sin offering, as our trespass offering, as these sacrifices. Now, it is our knowledge of Christ that we offer back to God. With this knowledge, we share. You know, we share Christ with the world. We share Christ with believers. We share with them what we know of Christ, what we have experienced of Christ. This is offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Here, brothers and sisters, every redeemed of the Lord is a priest. Everyone knows Christ. At least we know Him as our Savior, as the sin offering. Thank God we may know Him more. And our knowledge of Christ is to be offered, to be shared. And as we share Christ with our brothers and sisters and with the world, it is fulfilling our priestly function. You know, the priest has to offer these things for the people. And we are to share Christ with the people. Whether we are witnessing for the Lord to the unsaved, whether we are trying to exhort, encourage, comfort, help our brothers and sisters with what the Lord has given to us, that we know of Him, when we share them, dear brothers and sisters, you are fulfilling your priestly functions. We are not all called to preach, but we are all called to share Christ, to offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, do not hide what you know of the Lord, but learn to share. The more you share, the more you will be given. Whatever gift or gifts, spiritual gift, that the Holy Spirit may give to you, it is not for us to bury it, but it is for us to trade with it. In other words, brothers and sisters, it is the will of God that the whole body, every member of the body, must exercise the gift of gifts that God has given to each. Every member of the body must learn to share Christ with one another. Whether you share through one gift or through another gift, you know, gift is the channel. Whether you share Christ with through one gift as a channel or through another gift as a channel, it is Christ that is to be shared. And we need all to exercise and to share. Now, the gifts are different, but the Christ is the same. God gives different gifts to different people. But the Christ that is being shared through these gifts is the same Christ. And this is the way to build up the body of Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, I do believe that it is God's will that every brother and every sister, young and old again, must share Christ, must exercise whatever gift God may have given to you. And that is the way that we will fulfill our function as a holy priesthood. Now, of course, it is a priesthood. In other words, a priesthood includes many priests. Priesthood is a number of priests, but this great number of priests work together as a priesthood under the high priest. And how true it is that we are all priests, but we do not serve independently. We do not serve isolatedly, unrelatedly from each other. We do not serve. Yeah, we serve each in our capacity, that is true, with our gifts, and yet we serve together as a priesthood and under our great high priest, Christ. Oh, if we know him, we hold fast the head, and the head is today represented by the Holy Spirit, then we find that we will work together as a priesthood unto God. There will be order and coordination. It will not be chaotic if we all submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit under his headship. So these are the practical things that we ought to do as priests. Brothers and sisters, have we been fulfilling our priestly functions? Do not just let a few seem to monopolize the priestly functions. This is not the will of God. You know, sometimes we think, well, these few brothers, they do everything. We don't need to do anything. No. If that is the way you think, you are responsible for it. Every brother and sister must fulfill your responsibility and privilege as priest. But don't forget, it is a holy priesthood. Now, this is our priestly service. But you know, we are not only priests. We are also Levites at the same time. Now, do not think that your priests are so dignified that the Levitical service, now these temporal things that below my dignity,
I will have nothing to do with it. I only want to be involved with spiritual service and not with those mundane things.
Brothers and sisters, not at all. Not at all.
The apostles, even though they are called to prayer and to minister the word of God, and you remember our Lord Jesus set a good example to them. He washed their feet. And do not think that doing the Levitical service is just doing these services. Temporal things. There's nothing spiritual to it. No. You'll find those who serve the table has to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes you find without these Levitical services, the priest could not do their service well. You cannot separate them. They have to be together. So, brothers and sisters, are we fulfilling our Levitical service today? Now, don't forget you are Levite. You are called to serve in the house of God, to serve the house of God. Now, what are our services as Levites? Now, make it very practical. Number one, of course, the Levites, they serve the tabernacle of God. See, when the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness, the priests, when the tabernacle was to move, the priests would come and prepare it. You know, they would cover the ark with a blue cloth, and they would cover the things in the holy places. And after they had prepared the things, then the Levites will come and carry the tabernacle. So if you read the book of Numbers, you will find how the Levites, they were divided into three groups. And one group will take care of the ark and the furniture, pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. They will bear them on their shoulders. And then you'll find another group will take care of all the boards and these heavy things. And the other will take care of the curtains and so forth. In other words, you'll find the Levites, they serve the tabernacle of God. They will take care of the things in the tabernacle. You know, they will draw water. They will help to kill the animals, and they will prepare the wood and all these things. Things that pertain to the tabernacle of God. These are the things that the Levites will do. Maybe you think that they are serving the tabernacle, they are not serving God. But when they serve the tabernacle, if they serve it faithfully, you will find that God will use them even in priestly service sometimes. You know, think of the seven who were chosen to serve the table. In Acts 6, how they served faithfully the table. And the result was, Philip became an evangelist. And Stephen certainly was either a teacher or a prophet there. You know? So you find that if we serve in the temporal things faithfully, God will enlarge our capacity. We shouldn't look down upon these Levitical services. Without these services, the priestly service just couldn't be done. So today, as Levites of the New Covenant, now, what is our duty? Remember, we serve the house of God. Physically, for instance, we have a place where we meet. Of course, this is not the church. This is where the church meets. But still, you find that we have a place. And having such a place, there are many things that must be done. The cleaning, setting the chairs, after the meeting, folding the chairs, the yard, lots of things that pertains to this physical thing. You know, where we can worship together. And brothers and sisters, this takes Levites to do the work. But don't forget, everyone is a Levite. You know, the problem is, sometimes, you know, we aspire for those spiritual priestly service. And we tend to forget that we are Levites too. So I do want to remind all of you, and myself too, that we are all Levites. You know, we cannot fulfill fully our priestly service if we fail in our Levitical service. Every brother and sister, young and old, must be involved. Some may be able to help cleaning the house. Some may be able to help setting up the chairs. Some may be able to help folding it. Some may be able to put the hymn book out. Or some may be able to help in the kitchen. Or some may be able to help to prepare the table. Or some may be able to help in the yard. You find there are a number of things that must be done. Of course, the Levites serve together as one. Not just everyone does what he likes, but everyone come in and are willing to be under the direction of the priest. In other words, when we are doing mundane things, there is still a spirituality required. We need to know what the will of God is. We need to do it as unto the Lord. And we need to do it with order and coordination. So we need many brothers and sisters to volunteer. Volunteer in all these works. Under direction. Not just do whatever you like, but under direction. That all these physical things may be well taken care of. And it is for the sake of our serving God in a spiritual sense. So, this is one thing. I do hope that every brother or sister should be involved at least in one item in the Levitical sense. You know, do something. And as you do it unto the Lord, you will find your heart will be strangely warmed. And your love towards the Lord will be increased. Your love towards the house of God, towards God's people, will be increased. It is very true. Very true. So I do hope that every brother and sister will remember this. Now, this is serving the house of God. Now, number two, you'll find that the Levites, the Levitical service of today, of course, serving the table. Serving the table. Now, in the New Testament time, you'll find, because there were so many believers, in the church in Jerusalem, at one time, they had over 10,000 people. And many widows among them, because life was very difficult. And these widows needed to be taken care of. Now, in the beginning, the 12 apostles tried to do everything. And because they tried to do everything, they failed in everything. So God showed them that this was not his way. There should be working together. So finally, you'll find seven brothers were chosen to serve the table.
And by serving the table, it means that they minister to these widows. But in serving the table, they were men full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters in the church today, we need people as Levites to serve the table. In other words, we need people who will look after the poor. It is always one thing in the Bible, remember the poor. Our Lord Jesus, who is rich, he becomes poor for us, that we may be rich in him. Therefore, to remember the poor is always a duty of the church, especially those in need in the household of God. So we need Levites who will look after these poor. We need Levites who will look after the sick. When people are sick, they need to be visited. When people are in need, they need to be supplied, to be helped. Sometimes maybe a sister or a family, they have sickness there. Well, maybe brothers and sisters can go there and help doing the household chores. You know, these are Levitical works. You know, if there's no one to clean the house for them, let's go and clean it for them. You know, these are the ways that we can show our love for one another. You know, this is serving the table. When we serve our brothers and sisters in various capacities, in many ways, there are many ways we can serve our brothers and sisters. And as we serve our brothers and sisters, we are serving the table as Levites. And certainly this is something that we should do. You know? And of course, there is another thing. You remember, you know, New Testament time, it is mentioned quite often, washing feet. Washing feet. Now, of course, there is a spiritual meaning behind it. And what the Lord said in John chapter 13 is, love one another. But this love is expressed in a practical way. You know, when you see a brother or sister in need, whether spiritual or whether temporal, whether there is a need, you go and try to wash the feet. In other words, you try to supply the need. You know? You try to make that brother or sister comfortable, refreshed, happy in the Lord. You know, so let us remember this, that we are also Levites. You know, let us remember that we are to serve in the house of God, to do these temporal things for the sake of the spiritual service, and we are to serve our brothers and sisters as Levites. We are to serve the table. We are to wash the feet of our brothers and sisters. And this is the way that we can fulfill our Levitical function. And I do hope that we'll fulfill it. But again, I will say, today we don't have a few Levites and the rest laymen. Today we are all Levites. We are all priests. We are all Levites. Therefore, we must all serve God as priests and as Levites. So may the Lord make all these very practical. Let us just be before the Lord. And if the Lord should exercise your heart, whether it is a priestly function or it is a Levitical function, if he exercises your heart, share it
with the brothers. Share it with those who are in responsibility in these various areas. That you may be a part of it. That we may serve as a body. The whole body must function. This is the will of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do believe that we are touching something that is very basic, but is also very vital. We believe that this is something that Thou hast in mind for Thy people. Thou hast set us free that we may serve Thee as priests and as Levites. We pray that there may not be any priest, any Levite that is not functional. Oh, we ask Thee to show us that it is our privilege that we can serve such a great God. The Lord teach us how to serve. We may not only be given the desire to serve, but Lord, give us also the spirit of humility, that we may learn to submit to one another, that we may learn to hold fast the head, that our service may be acceptable unto Thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.